person of Jesus Christ living inside of you. You have it all. The fullness is there already. So we got to tap into that. Sometimes we forget that that's there. We have access to that. That you're not going to get any more of God than what you have right now living on the inside of you. He's already there. It's already there. It's not like he's building up to give you more. But what he is building you up to handle more. Because if God would inflate himself inside of you, you wouldn't be able to take it if you weren't ready for it. That's why God, he goes to work on the rooms of your heart. There are rooms that are in there that God goes in to clean out so that he can make more room for himself. And so the question is today, what's taking up the space that God should be in? What's the room? Lord, we want God to bless us and we want God to multiply us, but God says, you're living in the space that I'm supposed to be living in. So if I can't get my elbows in there, it's too tight. So that means I'm going to have to break up some stuff that's in there so I can make room for me to move in there. So if you feel that it's a little uncomfortable or God's breaking up some stuff, he's doing it for a reason because he's trying to get his life in there. Because God always breaks down. Not breaks down, but he breaks ground before he deposits something in. So if you feel like there's ground being broken inside your life, praise God for it. Praise God. You know that God's not done with you and he wants to reveal more of himself to you. And that you don't have to feel like, well, there's nothing else. Yeah, there's more. There's more. There's more. And so we're in a real groundbreaking season. You can talk about what happened with COVID. COVID was a groundbreaking thing for this world. This world. And it's not like it took God by surprise. But I feel sometimes that we miss out on the work that God started to do in our life and he continues to want to do. The Bible says that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so that work is continual. So he's continuing to break ground. Continuing to break ground. You're saved one time, but you're being saved. So you're born again one time, but you're being born again continually. As you shed off more of yourself so that you can become more of what God originally designed for you to do. So that's why you can't stay comfortable, or God doesn't allow you to stay comfortable, because you're always in some sort of birthing process. Always. Yeah, you thought the womb was it. No. You got out just to come into the world, but when you got saved, a whole new birthing process took place. And God set you aside, and he does that work in your heart constantly, and you feel like you're being worked on constantly in his woodshed. And on the wheel, the potter's wheel, he's doing all that. And he's working it out according to his good plan and his good purpose. Shedding the old misty. Because you don't live your life anymore by yourself anymore. Now you live your life by the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And so your life now is him. Your life is him. Your life is not this world. Your life is not your own thought process. Your life is not your own device or scheme that you concoct to think that, well, I've got it figured out. That's not your life anymore. Your life is Christ now. It's Christ. So when you go about your day, you're representing Christ. That's your life. Who do you follow? I follow Christ. Who do you represent? Christ. What do you attribute to your life what do you attribute to your success? Christ. Because he's the one that's been sufficient. He's the one that's doing the work. It's him. So as I continue to yield more to him, as we've been talking about in the series, I realize that it's always been him. It's always been him who's been tolerating me. It's always been him who's been working on me, because my life is now hidden in Christ. So I'm hidden in him. And so no matter what season of your life you're in, you're hidden in him. And so he's doing a work. He's got you behind the scenes doing a work. You're hidden right now. He's exposing some things in your life that are also hidden, so that he can clean out all those closets that you have stuffed things into that robs you of the true life, joy, and peace that he died to give you. So if you are missing out on that true joy, life, and peace, not to say that it's not difficulty, if you're missing out on that true joy, life, and peace, then your closets are too full and God's going to get some stuff out, because God's too good to let you just stay the way you are. It's too good. He's too good. Why would he do that? Why would he die just so you could stay the same you for the rest of your life? What a waste of death. What a waste of death. If you are constantly changing and developing physically as a person, emotionally you're changing, why would God just leave you like it is and say, well, one day when you die, we'll start the work? God's too good. He said, I'm going to sustain and help you get through the stuff you need to get through now. I'm going to work on you now so that when we get into eternity, we got a head start. That's why God's so good. He's ever present. He's doing stuff now. He doesn't wait on stuff and say, well, I'm going to wait to work on it. No, he's always working on you. Always working on you. Always getting you in a position. Even when you don't feel like he's getting you in position, he's getting you in position. He knows how to move you even when you don't know he's moving you. Because he works in you to do according to his good purpose and pleasure. So if God says raise the arm up, guess where the arm's going? Up. That's why there are times in your life where if you're not careful, your praise will be stifled because of your circumstances and your situations, and the enemy wants it stifled so that you can't praise God. And so that's why there's a fight to get you to open your mouth and praise God, because he's deserving of that, because there's something that happens when you release what's in your mouth out to God that breaks something in the atmosphere, that breaks something spiritually over your life. That's why it's important for you to open your mouth. Open your mouth. So when you come into a setting and you are private and you are reserved, that's okay for the movies. Well, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. It is a joy to be in God's house. It's a joy. I don't care what's going on. I get to open my mouth in a free state. So we've been in the series in 1 Peter. It's been a great series. We've talked about submission. Some would argue, but that's submission. Talk about submission. Talk about suffering. Then we're talking a little about serving and what that looks like. The writers of the Bible did not just write just what they thought they should write. They specifically wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. And so, Ellen, if you put that scripture up for me, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says this, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And in verse 8, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Looking for someone. Thank you, God, today that your spirit is here and that our eyes are open and attentive to see what you want us to see. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Ethan. He said, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. He said, if you want elevation, humble yourself. The people in this book at this time were under some severe persecution. And we know that Peter was writing to help them withstand the suffering and the persecution that they were under. Because remember, the church wasn't that old. We look at it now, and we're in the future of what God had started a couple thousand years ago. But church is not that old at this time. So these people were looking for a Christ to return because they had an anticipation that he was coming back. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. Because the prayer is, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And that needs to be our heart. There needs to be some sort of urgency in our lives to say, Lord, come quickly. Not that we want to abdicate our responsibility here, even though some do. But we're saying, Lord Jesus, come quickly, because that's the prayer of our heart, because we want to be united with him. Okay? Because where he went, our desire needs to be, we want to be with him, because we're now his bride. So a husband, a groom on a wedding day, he's excited about getting married, he should be. And his desire is to be with his bride, because they know that they've been destined and designed to be together. There should be that confidence. And so for you, there should be an excitement that you are ready to be united with him. God is so desperately in love with you that he does everything he can to let you know that he's with you still. He's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. And so that process goes on, and there needs to be that longing for him in your life. God can't get enough of you. Some of you need to hear that today. He can't get enough of you. Meaning that he never gets tired of you. He don't get sick of you. Even though sometimes you feel disciplined because he loves you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So God's desire is to be with you continually, and he is with you continually. Sometimes we get glimpses of who he is at different points of our life, but he loves you. And so when it comes to our life and being united with him, we also have to understand that there's a time where we have to suffer with him. So if you want to be united with him in resurrection, then we're going to have to understand that suffering is the thing that leads us into that unification when it comes to resurrection. There is no life without death. That is the walk of a Christian. I didn't make the rules up. That's just the way God designed it. If you want to follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. And as we learn to suffer together, we'll learn to rule and reign together. That's how it works. That's how it works. You don't go up unless you go down first. You're down first. I'm not elevated unless I walk in humility, because God knows the danger of being elevated into a position you don't need to be at before you need to be at it, because of the temptation that comes along with being elevated. Everybody wants to be elevated. Nobody wants to be humiliated. But the problem is we got a lot of people who want to be elevated, but they're also at the same time being humiliated because they don't have the character to hold where God's elevating them. And so God is so good that he keeps you down where you need to be, and he elevates you in due season. And sometimes God will give you the taste of the glory before you're elevated, just to give you an idea of what God's calling you to, but also to understand the weight of it, the weight of it. Understand what I'm saying? So last week I was in here and doing my thing and walking around, and I got a glimpse of the weight of the glory of God up on this stage. And just a glimpse of God said, I'm holy. I'm holy. And there's a weight that comes along with that. Holy. There's a weight there. There's a weight that comes along with glory. That's why we don't do things lightly. I don't care what kind of building you're in. I don't care what kind of store you're in. That when you come in, the presence of God is there, and you bring the presence of God in. God is already where you want to be. So he is already there. And to understand that gives us more of respect for him, that, you know what? I've got to be careful what I do and what I say, because I'm on holy ground right now. This is not something that we just mess around with and we're like, well, let's just see what we can do. You know, there's work, there's preparation that goes into it so that we can give our best to God when we come in here. We can give our best to God in our life. And so there's a fight over that. There's a fight over that. Always. There's a fight over the best you. Always a fight. Because of what that means. So your expression to God is always under attack. Always. Because the enemy knows that if you can get to the full expression of who you are and your relationship with God, there's nothing that'll be able to stop you. Nothing. Nothing. So there's always a tearing at your thoughts. There's always a winding up of your emotions in order to get you out of where you should be, the centered part on Christ, to get you away from that so that you can't dial into you being unified with God. Isn't that what Jesus prayed? He said, listen, I pray that they would be one as you and I are one. And so not just the fact that to be unified with one another, but he said first and foremost to be unified with him. So if I can get unified with him, that nothing around me and in my sphere of influence will ever be able to stop me, because I'll be elevated into a position where I'll be able to see the enemy's tactics before they actually begin to take root into my life. So it's not that we don't necessarily have a faith problem. I think a lot of us do, but we have a seeing problem. We don't see right. And so, because faith is always active, it's always doing something. It takes faith for us to get up every day. So the Bible says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech without even saying anything. So just the fact that the world is the way it is, God says that that is a sign enough of the glory of God and who I am without even it saying a word. Without saying a word. So if nothing else, if you were in a position of your life where you're doubting God, just go outside at night. Just go outside when you get up in the morning and look at the sun and thank God for the beauty of his creation and get an idea of who God is so that you can understand that you are not in control, that there is someone who is running this thing better than you are, and that he is making the earth spin the way it needs to spin, and everything is in control and in order the way God has designed it to be in order. And you are a part of that eternal process that God has set in motion. And you can be thankful that God has already gone before you for that day and has already taken care of the things that need to be taken care of. Your job is to walk and to stand in faith and not be taken out. That's your job. because that is always a viable option for you not to make it. Not to make it. And we get that and understand that. Hopefully, we've gotten that by now, that there are things that are coming at you daily to try to knock you out, knock you off your stance of where you need to be so that you don't make progress. But you have to get to a point in yourself and get to a point in God where you said, come hell or high water, I will do what God has called me to do no matter what, no matter what. I will pursue God at all costs no matter what. I will continue to lean into God no matter what. I will continue to go after God with everything that I have inside of me no matter what. Because I know when I do that, God is faithful to protect me and to keep me from the evil one, even though he tries to come in, so that I can do what God has called me to do. Why? Because you are carrying the flag of reconciliation to a lost and dying world every single day. Not just that flag, but you're carrying the light inside of you. So if you're carrying the light inside of you and that you're carrying that ministry of reconciliation, you know you're going to be fought. There are going to be things that are going to come against you because you have the truth. You have the answer. It's not some private thing that God has said, keep it to yourself. That is not God. It's not. You don't even like to be around people who don't express themselves, or you don't feel like you can get a read around them, or who are now full of life. You don't even like being around people like that. Some of you don't even like being around people who do that. Because they show you where you're not or where you lack. And so it's uncomfortable for you when God sends them in and they are who they are and you are who you are, and God uses to shine a light on you and say, hey, listen, turn your light up. Because you're low. And it causes you to hopefully come up to another level. That's why community is so important. That's why you get around other people and we do life together and our countenances are sharpened because of being around other people, because God's designed it that way so that you can become more like him, but become more effective and sharper in what you do. If your joy quotient is down, the best way for it to get up is, number one, understand that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Absolutely. I have to encourage myself in the Lord, but get around an extrovert. Get around somebody who is not, or you don't have what they have right now, and you feel like, hey, I feel like I need to be lifted up. Perfect place to do it. In community. You're trying to get blessing in your life financially. Well, number one, we talked about this. Tithe consistently. And then get around other people who are where you want to be. To break off mentality that does not need to be there. Knowing that God died so that you can prosper. Here he goes again. God died so that you can prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So as your soul is prospering, guess what? So is your health. Not just your health physically, but guess what? Man, everything I touch is now prospering. Everything I touch now. Financially, things are happening. Emotionally, things are happening. Relationally, things are happening. Why? Because I'm in a healthy place. I've allowed God to stretch me. He's made elbow room. He's stretching some things around, moving some things around. I got more joy in my life. I can hold blessing now. I can hold it because I know the important things. I learned joy now, just like Paul said. I've learned to be content in all things, whether I didn't have anything. Cool. Whether I had much, cool. Because now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And guess what? God says, okay, now you're ready. Because you got me. You realize where your strength comes from. Some of you right now are going through some stuff where you feel like God's breaking you down of some old devices or thought patterns just to show you that it's not your own strength. It's in my strength. And if we get that, we'll start to move. And then we'll start to elevate. Because as I elevate, I'll keep a right mindset of who got me there. Because without him, it's impossible for me even to get up, but let alone begin to rise and be successful in my life. So if I want elevation, he said, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Learn to submit. Learn to suffer. Learn to
serve.
And all of a sudden, God said, I'll begin to raise you up. But if you can't handle the first two, number three, not going to be very effective on three. Because you're going to think it's about you. When it's not about you, it's about me. And so if we can't get that down right, then you'll never get out what you think you're supposed to get out of serving. I'm serving because I've given my life over to one who's greater than me and who gave his life for me. And now I say, my life is yours. You use it the way you want to be used. And so when I do that, God says, I'll take you up in that offer. I'm going to take you up. Thank you for submitting. But it's not just a one-time process. It's going to be something that we're going to continue to do. And as you defer to me, guess what? I'll give you the things that you need to be successful. And as you learn how to suffer, there'll be things that'll be born in you that will never be born any other way. There'll be stuff that'll be happening to you that won't happen any other way. I just don't give out. I just don't cast my pearls before swine, he said. I'm going to give you some good stuff as you learn to suffer and as you learn to submit. I'm just not going to give you the whole meal up front because, number one, you haven't paid for it. I'm casting out pearls to you, but you're not ready. You can't even handle the appetizer. God said, I want to speak to you on different levels. But when you learn to do it like Jesus did and to submit to me first and suffer insults, persecution, things that are coming and don't understand what they are, strange things that are happening in your life, but still serve, then we can talk. But until then, I'm going to give you a little bit. Because what we do is we serve based upon our ability to figure out. I will serve if I know I'm going to get something out of this or the outcome is going to be favorable to me. That's not serving. Serving is giving your life away knowing that the outcome may not be the way I want it to be. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Raised up. Given the name above every name. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Why? Because he said yes. You say yes to God, he'll give you the platform you need. But it's not going to come without learning how to suffer. Not going to come without. Not only so, but we rejoice in, favorite scripture of this series, we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope doesn't disappoint. You can make light of what you see people being successful today, and you can scoff at them and be like, I wonder what it took to get them there. You have no idea what they had to go through to get to where they are right now. No idea. Some didn't make it. Some were not successful in keeping what they got. But you see a large portion of people still successful. Say what you want. I don't care. God is blessing them, just and unjust. He reigns on both of them. And if you would hear some of the stories, it'd blow your mind. I didn't know God can bless someone who really doesn't confess that they're a Christian. God will raise up whoever he wants to raise up. He'll bring into the stage whoever he wants to bring to the stage. Someone who's not necessarily a Christian at all, but they just have gifts and talents and God has blessed them. Does that make God any unjust? No, God is still just. We gotta watch out for that stuff. God is still just. He's still merciful. Hear their stories and the stuff that they had to go through to get there. Praise God. But what about you? How much more for God's kids does God want to bring you to a place of influence? Does God want to open doors for you? So what is it that keeps us from getting there? Willingness to go through the cross. And there's no escaping that. There's no escaping that. You're not going to escape death one day. That's just going to happen. Unless the rapture comes and most people are praying. I'm pre-trib. But most people are praying that. Or like they're praying that God comes take him before it's time. Whatever. Pray in faith. But if that doesn't happen, guess what? You're not going to escape that part of your life. And so much so that God said, we're going to practice doing it daily. So when the time does come, that you're ready. This is an expected end. Because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Understand, I do have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But you're practicing now. So you're dying daily. It's exciting. so that the life of Christ to come alive in you, because your life is no longer your own, but your life is now Christ. Then he goes on to say, be careful, because you got a great enemy. Got one. He's coming after you. He's coming after what's inside of you. And if you wrestled with that, it's not so much you. It's so much who's inside of you. And what that person inside of you wants to reveal through you to the world. Have you ever wondered why you're fought so much? Because of the call that God has for you. And there are different graces that God gives people, and that's okay. Walk in your grace. God's going to elevate certain people to certain positions. God's going to give people a platform here. But whatever it is, be thankful for what that is and what God has called you to do. But there are certain things that God prepares you for, because suffering always unleashes greatness. Always does. So if you are suffering in your life, just thank God right now that greatness is being born and that something's going to come out of you that is going to shock people. It's going to shock the world. Just be ready for that. Just be ready. And don't apologize for it. Just be ready. No, you didn't pay that price. You haven't paid the bitter pill. You haven't paid that price. So don't look down at people who are walking into greatness, who are about to be great, because you don't know how many pills they had to swallow in order to get there. Bitterness, depression, doubt. We can go all the way down the list. Don't, no. So that's why you never apologize for what God took you from and where he's placed you and what footing you're on now, because you don't know. You have no idea. I'm not apologizing for that whatsoever. Because God has given you the grace. You know, every once in a while, God will come and just remind you of what you've been through. Just like, no, hey, I'll tell you what, you come so far, you don't have to apologize to no one. Because the only person you answer to is me. Because you robbed the world of the greatness that's inside of you because of your concern for other people and what they might think. Are other people God? No. Do other people have a hold on you the way God does? Maybe. Maybe. And could it be that that's what God is going after? It's what's holding you. Instead of really being held by him. Because we gravitate to stuff and we pull on it to hold us when we feel out of control. And God said, if we're going to be great and we're going to be elevating it into a position, that stuff has got to be cut off. And so as that happens, that you've got to be left standing on me. And so you could be right now doing one of these things and trying to figure out where God is. And God said, if you just hold yourself on me and stand on me, the real foundation, the rock, you'll learn to stabilize yourself. That's why God lets you struggle. He lets you struggle. Because he wants you to lean on him. Ever notice that? It's never quite perfect. I want you to lean on me. And so there's always that struggling. And every once in a while, that'll be pulled, and you'll be left standing. And it shows you where you're at. So what's holding you? And is that the thing that's holding you back from greatness? Because greatness can only be found in him, number one. And two, we have to get over ourselves. If you want to think you're going to be great, you got to go over yourself. Because you are worthy of the grace that God has given you to walk in. You're worthy of that grace. You're worthy to be called a child of God. You're worthy to it. You need to settle that. You're worthy to be called a child of God. And where it starts, you thinking, you got to think differently. And the only way I think differently is by transformation of my mind. And anytime you talk about transformation, you talk about pain. You talk about pain. You don't talk about things automatically just happening like this. Look at how your body has developed over time and what you put it through in order to get it to where it needs to be. Those who put a priority on their fitness. Good. Pain. Those who have done the work emotionally to get free from their past and their childhood issues have put in the work emotionally, the tears and the pain, in order to push past what they thought they were, in order to receive who God said they are, in order to walk that way. Just talk about that for a minute. Okay, that's, you got to push past that. That involves pain. get pain. And anytime you talk about being blessed financially and you're not where you want to be, but you feel it in your heart that God wants to blow some things up in your life and it's not where you want to be, it's the pain of not having what you think you should have and what God's calling you to. It's the pain of that. And it drives you to get into alignment with God so that you can begin to receive all that God has for you so that you don't walk around in lack and defeat, because God says you're not lacking or you're not defeating. What it is, it is seasonal. And I need you to align with my purpose first. And I want you to look toward me because I want to provide that in you. So there's pain in that. There's pain in the offering and giving when you don't necessarily have it. Because you know I'm doing it by faith. It's pain. Because I know I'm putting you first. I'm not setting that up as an idol. You're number one. So I'm doing you first. And as you do that, God begins to bring things into alignment in your life. I'm doing it. It requires pain. Anytime relationally you're trying to get better with someone else, it requires pain, because you're trying to be intimate and be supportive and recognize their gifts and who they are. Especially if you're supposed to do life together in a marriage relationship, number one is that you're going to have to understand and defer to one another and let them be them and you be you. It involves pain because they are not you. And so the two are becoming one. And this idea of two becoming one, it's lifetime. It's lifetime. It's not like the first year, the first 6 months to a year of marriage. We got it. No, you don't have it. You don't have it because he keeps meshing you together. And as you keep getting meshed together, more of your flesh is dying so that the Spirit of Christ can be illuminated in both your lives. That's why marriage is hard, but it's rewarding. It involves pain. Pain. But if I can handle that pain, guess what? I get the power. And all of a sudden, I'm developed in it. It's okay, let's put it this way. It was easier for me to dip on my marriage 1 year in. 1 year in. Now, it's almost 19 years later. Now we're going somewhere. I'm going somewhere, right? Because stuck it out. Been in on it. Went through the heart. Man, oh man, I was thinking about stuff, just oh, the grace and the seasons of God, all that stuff. We're going somewhere now. Now I'm going somewhere now. Now we're starting to go. Now we passed some things. Now I can see things that God has promised. Now they're starting to come to pass and line up. Oh, I see it coming now in the future. We close. We close now. And you know what? We close because we just decided we're just going to do it because God's more important the way I feel. He's more important than what I'm going through right now. He said, okay, I'm sticking with it. And every time I stick with it, I'm built more, I'm stronger. And God says, now I can trust you. I trust you now. If you're crazy enough to stay in it this long, why are you going to quit now? Come on, man, that's a shame. You had 1 year. First year, you could have dipped. Now, no. You're 19, you're going on 20. Come on, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. We'll see where it goes. And be able to stand up and say, yeah, you know what? God was good. He did it. He brought us in. He elevated us where we needed to be because God's good. He's sufficient. And we can be thankful for the scars and the pain and all that stuff. They made us who we are today. Praise God. I'm better because I was with her. I'm better because I stayed with her. I'm better. And God said, now I can bless you and trust you because the number one thing that I want for you is obedience and prioritizing. So just prior, you did. That's your first ministry. Good job, son. Now I can trust you because you could have bailed. Even when the thoughts come in, they come in. But you know what? It don't matter. You might have wanted to bail before, but now you're too in now. Now, just like in Team Rally, I run toward that stuff now. When I see that, I'm like, praise God. We're doing good. That's the problem. We got a lot of people running. And we talked about this. Where are you running to? Where are you running to? It's just going to find you in the next one. It's going to find you. If you're dealing with someone that, let's just say, fear or a spirit of fear, and you try to avoid that and not deal with it, that is just going to find you wherever you go because it robs you of your life and it robs you of what God has called you to do. So God will continue to bring that around to you so that you have to deal with that because he said, listen, you're not living at all. You're not living. You're dying. You're so afraid. I got to break you out of this. And it's my love and it's my goodness That's why I'm doing it. Come on. Don't you want to whip fear? I mean, you say, I do. I want to whip it, man. I'll tell you what, I want to whip it. I'm afraid of flying. So, you know, well, okay, well, all right. So what you got to do is you got to go fly. You got to fly with your head between your legs. You got to fly and just grit it and bear it, okay? Because if God wants to use you to do something on a bigger scale, how are you going to let one, a travel limitation is going to stop you because you're afraid of flying? Get up there and deal with it. I'm trying to help you. God's called you to greater things, but we can't ride a bike. We want all this stuff. I want elevation. Give it to me, Lord. And we can't jump off the diving board into a 6-foot pool. We can't get into the pool without waiting to get in. Are you going to get in the pool or... We're trying to do something together, but you're having a hard time just letting go. That's why is there such a hit and attack right now on identity? Because God is trying to help you deal with kid stuff that you should not be dealing with anymore on this level. You're not a kid anymore. Yeah, you're his child, but kid stuff. Listen, you used to be afraid of the dark. That should not be the issue anymore. I sleep great in the dark. I want you to think about it as we're talking. Stuff just coming up in your mind and how you said, that's got to sound crazy, the stuff that I'm still dealing with right now. And you feel like God's just, hey, man, come on. Come on. Because it's robbing you. I'm trying to elevate you, but you stopping you from actually being elevated because you won't let me help you break out of this stuff. That's why I keep bringing that emotional thing around to you so you can deal with it, so you can finally jump over that hurdle. Jump over the hurdle. Because on the other side of the hurdle, there's progress. And I can give you some of the things I want to give you because you know how to handle them and know where they came from. But be careful, you got a great enemy who wants to take you out. And so don't you think that, you know, when God begins to elevate you or wants to do something in your life, the enemy's going to come in and start to just weave his way into your life, and the schemes are going to start popping up everywhere. It's going to start raining schemes. That because what God does is that he shows you in your spirit, and you sense it here first. And all of a sudden, it excites you, but at the same time, here we come. You're going to never get out of that one. You know, if you would just succumb to it, it'll be a lot better. If you just kind of just let it be and just succumb to it, it'd be a lot better. You're never going to deal with it. And you got to rest those thoughts, man. And you know that's the test. That's the scheme. I'm telling you right now, that's the scheme. The Spirit of God has already spoken to you. You see it in your spirit. And when you start seeing him weave in, there's going to be something that's going to come up. And it's going to try to develop and take root into your life. And you're going to have to remember where it came from. Hold on. I know my progress. I know where we've been at. Wait a minute. And it usually comes right before breakthrough. Because right before the breakthrough, he throws it all at you. And tries to rub it in real deep. But you got to know you're close. And it's worth it if you'll just grin and bear it. Because sometimes that's what you got to do. I'm going to do it anyway, even though I'm feeling it this way on the inside of me. I'm going to do it because when I do that, I know I'm going to become more aligned with God. Because I'm overriding my feeling. And God says, I'm proud of them because they didn't fall prey to that one. That's good. They're making progress now. Listen, it should sicken you, the idea of going backwards. It should sicken you. It's just sickening you. If I do feel it even a little bit, I get irritated until I get it right back. because I know where I came from, and I know it's less than what God has called me to walk in. And my heart desires to get back to where I feel like, no, I'm walking and I got alignment with him. I'm walking in full purpose. My heart's open. I know where I feel good. I feel like I'm in control of myself where I need to be. It's just sickening you, the idea of going backwards. Just think for a moment, even though you may not want to. Just glimpse back to how it was. It should be something inside you that just drives you. It just drives you. It drives you to be better. It drives you to want to do what God's called you to do, even when the enemy comes in. Because he knows the potential, Craig, for greatness on the inside of you. He knows the potential for greatness on the inside of you, Malia. It's there. It's there. But before it, it's then become, oh, but you and your dad don't really have a great relationship. So how do you expect God's really going to use you because of that? And if she's not careful and doesn't understand that her identity is not rooted in her dad, and it's rooted in the identity of Christ, that she'll fall prey to that. And so she's had to do some work to get past that. Be like, no, I'm loved by my Heavenly Father. That's not going to work no more. You remember those little schemes used to pop up on Facebook? Oh, there he is again. Scheme. That don't work no more. Try something else. If you're not careful where your identity needs to be, you'll fall prey to that stuff. Come on, church. Don't fall prey to it. He's coming back for you. You don't have to be passive aggressive anymore. You don't have to roundabout tell me you don't like me. Just say it. Come on, just being around a bush. Listen, come, let's be honest. You're going to irritate me, I'm going to irritate you. Just because of who we are as people. And God has given us different gifts and personalities. That's what makes the body work. Even though you may not think it works. So don't try to do what I do. I'm going to try to do what you do. Be you. So you walk in your grace. Guess what? It works. The way it needs to work, because God works in the middle of it. But just be you. Just be you. You already know I'm going to come in. It's going to be a little bit of a fight probably here, just because we're working our own salvation out with fear and trembling. But that's the beauty of it. Listen, I'm not in life just so everybody's like me. The beauty is just to mix it up. Don't you feel more alive sometimes? Well, you may not, but don't you feel, no, you're not. Forget it. David's heart was, we're going to mix this thing up. You coming at me? No, I'm coming at you. Let's get this thing going. Let's just get it started. Nah, let's get it started. You got to have that mentality. We're just going to get it started and let's just get it done with. Because in the middle of it, God works it out. God would rather you see, you know what? You know what irritated me a little bit or frustrated me, just to be honest with you? Remember years back, the way they used to do war in the colonial times? It was like suicide. Out of respect for one another, we will all line up together with our guns in hand. You will line up about 50 feet, 100 feet away from me. We will take turns shooting at one another because out of respect for our impending death, we want to give you the first shot because we're gentlemen. Dumb. Dumb stuff. Why would you do that? Guys just not even getting their holsters cocked, bullets flying in their heads, getting chopped off, couldn't, things get stuck, can't do it. Oh, I missed my shot. You shouldn't even be there in the first place. You ought to be up on the hills at a different vantage point, looking down, seeing how you can attack the enemy. Get some Bible knowledge. See what they did in the Old Testament. See how they just went around stuff and did it all night and ambushed people. Don't go to your impending death willingly. Get a different vantage point when you come out. Have a strategy, yeah, what you want to do. Well, come out like swinging. You know, ever see, one of the other things too, boxing is not the way it used to be. I'm not a boxing fan, but I grew up in the Mike Tyson era when Mike Tyson was like, he was it. Like 20 seconds into a fight, knocked somebody out. And was like, oh my God, this guy's the best thing I ever thought of. So he was good. And so you saw that. And boxing is boring. Because everyone's trying to spar with one another. And a lot of times they're waiting. And there's a jabbing and jabbing and jabbing until finally the hit comes. And once the hit comes, it changes the whole fight. I think what happens sometimes is that we do that too much. We're trying to face life And we just like jabbing. We're waiting to see what the other person's going to do. Oh, dance, mama. Oh, good. You, oh. And we're not even really hit. We're like swinging, but we're not hitting because we don't want to be hit because we don't like the feeling of being hit. You don't like pain. You don't want to feel it, so you never engage in it. So that's why there's no real progress sometimes. I don't want to feel it, you know. And so if you don't engage in it, you'll never see the possibility of what that actually can do for you. It's like you're dancing back and forth. You're dancing with one another. Why? Just come out. One of my favorite trilogies was Indiana Jones. So a lot of y'all look at Harrison Ford was great like back in the day. And so I remember one of the movies, I think it was Raiders of the Lost Ark. They were out in the field. They knew where they were at. They were in some country you can't pronounce. And so he's going out and he's fighting people. And all of a sudden the guy's like standing there with a sword. And he's doing one of these things. And he goes, and he moves on. Let people dance all they want to dance. Use what God has given you. You get the job done. You can dance around. You can try to be passive. You can try to like smoke and mirrors. But here's the real deal. Here's the real deal. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to do what I know how to do to take you out. Devil. Because this is the way I've learned to deal with it based upon my relationship with God and my reasoning capabilities and how God has shown me how to deal with it. So this is how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to do me. And so when I do me, it might get crazy and get messy. But guess what? That's me. And that's the grace that I have to be able to do that. You got to learn to do you. Pull out whatever God has given you and use it. Stop dancing around it. You got family issues and things you're dealing with. You got to learn to arrest the past and realize where it was and where it came from. Know that God has delivered you from that stuff and move on and know that you don't have to give into other people's issues. Know the issue. Know the thought. Know the shadow. Where does it come up for you? Family origin. Where does it come up from you? It comes up right in there. Right in there. And so if you're not careful, you'll miss out on the goodness of what God delivered you from and brought you from, and you'll start walking back there. You don't need to do it. Do you, boo? Do you. God has called you to be you. And you know it's going to be coming at you. So if you get any picture out of today and you miss Team Rally, I'm helping you again. That this week, when that giant comes yelling at you, I want you to say, oh, me? And I want you to go right to it. And look, oh, that's what you're saying. Go right to it. Because once you do that, you begin to break the power that it has over your life. If you don't do that, all of a sudden, that power grows and it's magnified bigger than what it needs to be in your mind. And before you know it, now you can't do nothing because now it's huge. And in reality, it didn't need to be that way because you got to remember who God is and who God has called you to be. The same God who delivered the lion, the same God who delivered me from the bear will be the same God who will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. So get up and do it again. I'm getting up again. I'm feeling that emotion. It's raw. I'm leaning into it again. You said what? You got to get crazy with it sometimes. Because if you don't, you'll start eating your way into depression. You'll start looking for something else that you can gravitate onto in order to give you comfort. You got to look into it. Don't let it defeat you. Don't go backwards into it. Go forward. The Israelites stood there for 40 days doing nothing because they were afraid. And their fearless leader, Saul, same thing. I got you guys. Use what God has trained you in. For David, it was killing lions and bears and tending sheep. Because you never know when God's going to bring you into your next scene. And you're going to have to perform what you've learned. And that's going to be your shot. But if you miss the shot, but that's your shot. Don't worry about missing the shot. You worry about, I'm in the next scene, and I'm supposed to use what I learned. God will take care of the outcome. Because that's where you want to be. Don't miss out on it. Let's everybody stand up for a few. The series title is appropriate. It is well. That's the attitude of the Christian. It should be. It is well when I have to submit. It's well. It is well when I'm learning how to suffer. It is, but you know what? My soul's in a different place because of that. Because I'm learning to identify with Christ. It's well for me. You know, it's well when I get to serve. It's well. There's something about it. It's well when I get to get on the battlefield and use what I learned. It is well. I take pleasure in facing that giant. It's well for me. I want you to, that mindset's got to change for you. It's got to change. But until you learn the essentials, it won't change. It won't change. I want you to think of your last victory in your life. The last one you have. Remember how good it felt. And it could be just you just made progress or just whipped something that was just whipping. And how good it felt. I want you to, now, that is the fuel that drives you into the next one. Not the fear of what the next one might be. Because now you're built now. Now you know how to handle it now. Now you're strengthening your inner man now to know how to deal with the next one. You're still going to need Christ. You're still going to need him. But now you're built on a deal with it. Now there's a little angst or maybe what the next one's going to be. But you know what? There's also an excitement. What could it possibly be? As I go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And as God, as you bring me further into my promised land, I'm just excited about what you did. Thank you for the seasons that passed. Thank you, God, for the way you were faithful and how you trusted me and how I trusted you. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, that I can have joy in the middle of it. Thank you, God, that I learned joy. I learned essentials, the essentials of Christianity. Thank you, God, that you brought me to a place of fullness in that and that you graduated me from. You ought to just thank God for graduating. Oh, my, oh. For every person in here, Lord, every person who's walked through it and is walking through it, thank you that every giant will fall. Everyone will. Every promise that you've made will come to pass. Because all of your promises are yes, and we say amen. All of them are. Every fear has got to go, everyone. Thank you, God, for making room so that you can fill it. And as we look back over our life where there might be scars, we're not there anymore. I thank you for the healing that you brought. So much healing. So much joy. How you replace it with your peace, your strength. Every mountain that was exalted, Lord, you brought low. Every valley, you exalted. Thank you for setting us on an even place. You, the rock. Let me ask you here, if you're here today and you feel, I feel it right now. I feel elevation. God's doing something to me right now because he wants to promote me to the next level. And I'll just be honest. We'll just shoot your hand up real quick. I just feel it. Just be honest. I don't want to say it. Yeah, okay, just say it. All right. Let's see it. Every person in your hands are up. Thank you, God, for the blessing of being promoted. Every blessing. But also, God, understanding the responsibility that comes along with promotion. Thank you, even in the elevation, God, as we're humble, that you're going to raise us up. Thank you for the building process that you've done, how you've gotten them to this point to get them ready. Thank you that they're ready. They're ready for this one. They're ready for this one. Thank you, God, for the tenacity, the determination, the strength you're going to give them to fight even this week, every giant, everyone that's going to come against them this week, I thank you. They're going to start to fall one by one. God, they're going to learn to arrest thoughts. They're going to learn to throw what they know. They're going to learn just to do how you called them to do, how you called them to be. God, help them to stand in faith even this week. Everyone that comes in, every scheme, every device that the enemy is going to try to use this week, I pray that they would stand fast. Remember your goodness. Lean into it, God. Thank you, God, for helping them learn how to thank you. Thank you in all circumstances. Thank you for it. Thank you this week. Because we know, Lord, as we go through it, you're going to be with us. Lord, build them. Thank you for strength. God, just building them up in strength. Resilience. Resilience. Not just a bunch of jabbers or the fighters. Thank you for teaching them, Lord, how to be your sons, your daughter, teaching them how to war. Lord, even as you told, as David told you, you teach his fingers how to war. Thank you for teaching people how to war in here. Yes, thank you, God, for everyone in here, just teaching them. God, bringing them to a place of humility before you. God, the things that they thought they could never beat, thank you, they're going to start to beat them. And as they do it, Lord, I pray that they would just have an understanding of who gave them the victory. Thank you that victory is yours. It belongs to you. And God, as you give us a platform, we're going to use our voice to declare your goodness and declare your greatness, because we know without a shadow of a doubt, the best is yet to come in our life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,